Exciting to be with the saints this afternoon in the first Lord's Day of the new year. So excited to be able to get the year started off right with this Lord's Day, and excited to be able to jump into the scripture. So we'll study those together. We're eventually going to get to Colossians chapter 3, so if you want to be turning there, we'll be in Colossians chapter 3, we'll read verses 8 through 10. I was reading, must have been yesterday or the day before, and I came across an article on ESPN, and it said the 7 most hyped college football teams going into 2018. I was like, oh, this is interesting. Harbaugh will be on there somewhere, right? Blah, 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 Harbaugh. So, oh no, we're leaving him out. So it's kind of interesting because the headline of that article was hype season. Hype season? What is hype season? And it got my mind going down a particular road that, you know, you'll hear kids get excited and kids say weird things and get hype. What's that mean? Like, I'm not quite sure what that means. But hype season. Oh, what is hype? I mean, I think it might be a little bit more accurate if they just called it bloviation season. You know what I mean? Like, hype has a good connotation, but what does hype actually get you? What does it produce? What does it get? You know, a lot of people say a lot of things to get excited, but what is really produced? It's kind of interesting because most of the religious and denominational realm survives through a type of hype season. Because what they want to do is they want to produce a feeling. And they want to produce a feeling usually that you have been close to God, that you have had some sort of experience with God, and they want to produce that hype, that feeling, that emotion. But what is real? What of substance is actually there? Well, kind of reminds me of the preacher that said, well, I don't really care what the people in my congregation believe as long as Jesus is glorified. Well, Jesus is not going to be glorified through lies. So you better believe, you better care what the people in your congregation believe, because the only way that Jesus is going to be glorified is through a right doctrinal system. Okay? If you don't have a right doctrinal system, okay, you can't just say, I ascribe all the glory to Jesus and have Jesus actually receive that glory. You know what that is? Hype. Hype. Bloviation. Right? And so, we've been discussing the gifts that we have. We talked about the gift of Jesus' life. We talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the opportunities that we have to give gifts to others. We talked about the fact that we are the first fruits among God's creation, that we are the new creations that God has spent centuries developing and getting us to the point where for us to understand that the creative power that was exerted in raising Jesus from the dead is the same creative power that was used to raise us from the dead. Okay, we've been talking about the importance of that. But one of the things that I would like to bring out this afternoon is that none of this is based upon hype. None of this is based upon an emotional manipulation to help you get an experience where you feel closer to Jesus. The goal of all of this is to help you actually be closer to Jesus. That will eventually produce an emotion, but that emotion is then based upon reality. See, it's interesting. When you were dating your spouse, okay, you kind of, and for some of us this was more true than others, but you thought you knew what love was, right? Oh, I am just so in love. He is just so wonderful, right? And then you got married, right? And it turns out that actually he does pass gas. I mean, I know that on all the dates, like but yeah, crazy, and so does she. But there are a lot of things where you thought you knew what love was. You thought that it was this experience, and that, but then you found out that real love has a lot to do with when the rubber actually meets the road and laying down your life for somebody else. That's what real love actually looks like, is the sacrificial love that Jesus demonstrated for us. Okay, what the denominational world is selling is a hyped up fake love. Okay, that has nothing to do with the true definition of what love is. And so God has done so much work throughout the centuries to communicate to us that A, his word is true, and that B, then because his word is true, it is true of me. It's true of you. See, we don't simply prove the Bible to be the word of God so that we can then, I hope I said that correctly. We don't simply prove the Bible to be the word of God, okay, so that we can prove that our doctrinal system is correct. Okay, our doctrinal system is correct. Okay, but it is not, that's not the only reason why we prove the Bible to be the word of God. Now, to have someone come to a saving faith, okay, in Jesus Christ, they need to know and to believe the Bible is the word of God. Okay, but it doesn't stop there. Okay, the other reason why we prove the Bible to be the word of God is so that when it says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, you know that that's not just a theoretical statement. That is a statement about you if you are in Jesus Christ, that you are actually a new creation. It is not hype. It's not a nice theological belief system that helps me to feel closer to Jesus through this experience that we all had together in the laser light show. That's not what that is. We can have music up here, and we can have the laser light show, and we could have a hype and produce some sort of emotion, okay? But what's the substance? So we prove the Bible to be the Word of God, so when the book of James talks about how we are the first fruits among all of his creation, that the new creation, okay, is what God has been working to develop for us to understand, okay, we know that that is true of me on an individual level. It's not just theoretical. It is true, and it is for you. Colossians chapter 3, you're already there. Give me a second to get there. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 8 through 10. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, his being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Okay. Put on and have put on the new self. There is a new self that has been given to us at the waters of immersion, a completely and totally new creature. It's not just the old creation forgiven, but rather a completely and totally new and different creation. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verse 4. Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through immersion into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So, we can now walk in newness of life, and we can put on the new self. And this new self is not... is not a result of hype. It's a result of logical reality. We can reason our way to find that the scriptures are indeed from God and that the scriptures are indeed inerrant. And then that reason can lead us to the truthfulness of the scriptures, which lets us know that God isn't a respecter of persons. And so God is neither making exceptions to let me in, nor is he personally excluding me. Okay, I want you to think about that for a second, because based upon kind of your personality, the way that you were raised, sometimes people come to this and they think that, well, that's that statement, let's use salvation as an example, that statement is true, okay? But God is a loving God, and he really doesn't mean that. So baptism certainly is important, but God wouldn't send me to hell for not being immersed in the name of Jesus Christ. Anybody else ever heard that, experienced that sort of thing? He's a loving God, but God doesn't really, you know, not really. I'm the exception. My family's the exception. So on and so forth. Okay? Or sometimes you have the opposite of that. Yes, this is true, and it's true for everybody else, but I have a really hard time accepting it about me, right? Like, Jesus obviously loves the world, but Jesus loves me too. Like, a little bit harder to accept and to realize, and it's easier kind of on the whole to accept the fact that, yes, Jesus loves the world, but when we get down to the nitty-gritty that Jesus loves me on an individual level, a lot more difficult to really comprehend. And so, we know from the scriptures that God isn't a respecter of persons, that if we're immersed into Jesus Christ, we are brand new creatures. We have the Holy Spirit living, residing, dwelling inside of our body. This is true of you if you are in Christ. It's not hype, not an emotional feeling or an experience, but rather is the plain black and white, and sometimes read, truth, right? Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. So, I'm just going to set the stage here just a little bit, because in verse 16 he says, "But if I say, walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you are pleased. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And then it outlines the deeds of the flesh. Well, the deeds of the flesh are evident. But the fruit of the Spirit, and then it outlines, okay, what is the Spirit, what is he going to produce? Okay, what is it that the Spirit, what is the production of the Spirit going to result in? The production of the Spirit is going to result in love, joy, peace, so on and so forth. Okay? So when we're in Christ, Okay? We have the Spirit dwelling inside of us. We have His gift dwelling within. And in verse 24 and 25, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What? The old self is gone. That is the reality. That is not hype. Okay? But then this is always going to involve our participation. Right? So I don't get to just say, well, the old self is gone. I'm glad that's never coming back. Right? Now the reality is he tells us who we are, but it is our job to continue to what? Renew the mind. As Colossians chapter 3 talks about. Okay, in verse 25, it goes on to talk about that. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So we live and we walk by the Spirit because the Bible is the Word of God. God is faithful and true, and if we will participate with Him, the promises are sure. It's not hype. It's not an emotional experience. It was kind of interesting. We were talking about James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18 last week, and it talks about how the first fruits are brought forth by the word of truth. See, Romans chapter 10 talks about how, I think it's chapter 10 verse 17, I believe, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? Word of God. What is it that brings forth new creatures? The word of truth, right? That's what brings forth new creatures. So what is not going to bring forth new creatures is, Roby, let me tell you about my experience. I just know that Jesus is a part of my life because last night I was praying for rain and I saw thunder. Crazy, right? And then it rained after the thunder. Right? So Jesus is obviously Lord because this was my experience. I prayed for rain. Okay, that's not biblical. How are new creations produced? New creations are produced not by me sharing my testimony with you. New creations are produced by the word of truth. Now, certainly, can our personal experiences illuminate God's power? Yeah, absolutely. Okay? Hey, look. See, this is what God has done in my life. Okay? But people that are propagating a false doctrine have a lot of really nice stories too. And so what's going to produce actual new creations is the word of truth. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know what none of that is? Hype. None of that's hype. It is based on substantial truth. The Holy Spirit residing within the Christian, okay, he is not hype. He is actual help. Okay, and what we want to do is we want to rely upon the help. And once you're reliant upon the help and participating with the help who dwells within, you don't need the hype. Because you got the real thing. You've got the help. John chapter 14. Colossians talks about a renewal. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Remember hearing a sermon illustration of Don DeWelt. And Don DeWelt used to talk about the Holy Spirit. And he'd kind of picture the Holy Spirit this way. He'd say, the Holy Spirit, He'd say it this way. I go into my house, in my mind, that is. He said, I go into a house in my mind, and there'd be somebody sitting there in the house in my mind. And they'd be sitting there, and they'd be rocking. Said, and I asked the individual, I said, what are you doing? He's sitting here, rocking in the rocking chair. And he said, I go in the house in my mind. And in the house in my mind, there's this guy sitting there. And I asked who he was. He said, I'm the helper. Why aren't you doing anything? He said, because you haven't given me anything to do. See, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, and He is our helper. Okay? But God is not going to do anything against our will. It is always going to require our participation, okay, for the Holy Spirit to get to work inside of our mind. Now, that participation, to put it in the right perspective, our part is really, really minute. God is supplying all of the power. God is supplying all of the real work. And without that, you're not going to get anywhere. Okay? But if you don't activate that, if you don't participate within that, none of that real power or that real work takes place. So the Holy Spirit, He is our helper, and He is the one who transforms us. You know, a lot of times I'll reference 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, but that specifically, that transformation of the mind that's taking place is taking place through the helper. You are not going to see the glory of the Lord to be transformed into His image without the helper. You have to have Him. And so we have true, genuine help. We have every good thing. And because of that promise, okay, we can be sure. We can be sure of what God has promised, He is able to deliver. See, we don't just prove the Bible to be the Word of God for those to become Christians, but rather it's absolutely essential for those of us who are Christians to be able to take that next step forward in faith, to be able to recognize that this is not about getting excited and pumped up on Sunday morning and then making sure that we can keep that pumped up throughout the week. See, it's real. Okay? And it's real on Sunday, it's real on Monday, it's real on Tuesday, it's real on Wednesday. You get the picture. Okay? And so, because it's real, we don't need the emotional hype. What we need is the helper. And He's willing to work with us if we're willing to work with Him. It's really encouraging on a number of levels that God is not a respecter of persons. You know, in a lot of ways, each one of us is really unique, but it's an encouragement to me that my circumstances and my struggles, they really aren't that special. You know, somebody else has been here. Somebody else has done that. Okay, and I have a great high priest who's been tempted in every way, yet without sin. So he knows. He knows what it is that you're going through, okay? And if you renew his mind, if you renew your mind, you know what? The results will take place. They will happen. You will get the transformation into Jesus' character. You're not that special. If you do it, it will work. And if you don't do it, doesn't matter how gifted or important any of us think that we are, you'll die spiritually. And so let's participate, because God is faithful. God is consistent. You have the promise of the surety of God. You have the, I said that wrong. You have the surety of the promise of God. Let's end in Lamentations chapter 3. This is where we ended last week. I want to go back there and emphasize something just a little bit different. Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 22. Lamentations 3:22. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord's compassions, they never cease. They never fail. God's faithfulness is everlasting. We could go through a multitude of Old Testament examples. I'm not going to do that right now, but I would encourage you to read through Hebrews chapter 11. God's faithfulness abounds. And he's not going to forsake you. He's not going to start being unfaithful when it comes to you. And so you can implement the principles of the new creation starting right now if you're in Jesus Christ. And there is a guarantee that what you will sow, you will also reap. Let's make the most of this 2018. Jeremy?